Number one tonight is we're looking at forever saved and eternal security. When we think about the word eternal security or eternal life, quite simply means that you and I, once we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, once we've been born again, that we can never lose it. We can never forfeit it. There's no idea, no teaching in the Bible that says you can walk into the salvation of God. You trusted Him freely of our own free will, and you can freely give it up. The fact of the matter is, this thing is a covenant that's done on God's end. It's on God's end. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know if we're going to have our mind for another moment. We don't know what the next moment holds. We have no idea. And you and I have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trusting Him not only to save us, we've trusted Him as our Savior. That means all of eternity, whatever takes place, it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. It's in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Number one, write this down. Eternal security is a holy command. It is a holy command of God. When a person comes before God with that broken heart wanting to be saved, and they ask God to save them, it is a holy commandment of God that that person is saved. Right then and right there. Preacher, what do you mean? The verse is John 3:16. Listen to this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, when that person prays, when you prayed, Brother Tim said a minute ago, when he asked the Lord to save him, it wasn't many years ago, when he asked, salvation came right then and there under the commandment of God. Even in that verse that goes with God giving the Lord Jesus His Son to the earth, that He gave, why? Out of love for lost man. And when He did so that whosoever believeth in Him, whoever believes in Jesus, shall not perish. That's a holy command of God. Not only did He add to that they shall not perish, but He added this, but shall have everlasting life. You see, when you and I got saved, God didn't say, well, I'm going to save them and see how they do. I'll give them a year or two, and then down the road a little ways, I'll see if they have lived up to it. Then maybe I'll put eternal life to their account. You see, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, when you and I got saved, it's a holy commandment of God. You've been given eternal life. When you receive Jesus, as we read this morning in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Verse 11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's 1 John 5:11. Eternal life given is in His Son. God doesn't give us Jesus over here and eternal life over there. Jesus is eternal life. To have the Lord Jesus is to have eternal life. This holy command of God. 1 John 5:13 in our text. Look at verse 13. You heard me read it this morning. This is where I ended up. We're talking about the holy command of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. What did he write, preacher? He wrote this book, the Bible, for you and I, that we may know that we have eternal life. How in the world can somebody read such things and then look and still say, well, I'm not sure about that. Or I don't believe in eternal security. I don't believe in that once saved, always saved stuff. Again, that's not a Baptist thing. That's a Bible thing. It's a Bible doctrine that's sound throughout all of Scripture. You and I look at the man known as Lot. Oh, over there, Lot had a lot going on. Yeah, he had a whole lot of trouble, Lot did. Sad. But God saw him as saved. Saw him as a man who vexed his righteous soul, the New Testament said. Now, I didn't see a whole lot of righteousness in the story in Genesis, but God did. And folks look at us and say, hey, they don't look like much, and they may not be much, but I'm glad God sees more. Amen. It's the holy command of God. The moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you believed in Him, you have been given everlasting life. Number two, look at this. Eternal security is a heavenly change. Not only is a holy command where God commands eternal life to be given, granted to you and I, but it is a heavenly change. Look at 1 John chapter 3, if you will. Just turn the page. A heavenly change. Chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, I got to hold on myself because I feel a whoop coming up in this first verse. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." You think about that, that'll make you walk around for a while and shake hands with the plastic bushes. Boy, I'd get you excited in church. Behold, he says, the word behold just means looky here. In country terms, it just means looky here. God says, hey, y'all, looky here. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That's good right there. I don't care who you are. Hey, that'll make a Muslim lose his turnip right there. Hey, man, what manner of love that we should be called the sons of God, no longer to be called a filthy, wretched sinner. Used to be known as Stephen the drunk, or Stephen the adulterer, Stephen the cusser, or Stephen the wicked one. But God in His love saved me, washed me in His blood, no longer called a drunkard, but a choir member, Sunday school teacher, ooh, getting excited, a deacon, just a member of the church, a preacher to be called. There ain't nobody ever stood behind this sacred desk worthy of this position. Let me just tell you right now. They all sorry. Matter of fact, God said He chose the base things. Why did He call you to preach, Brother Steve? Because if you didn't call me to preach, I'd probably be a who knows what. He called the meanest ones there was. You don't want me in Sunday school. Amen, amen. I was a handful after I got saved. Amen. God does that. What manner of love? That therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. I'm talking about a heavenly change. Watch this, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Woo! That sounds pretty good to me, I'm here to tell you. Go outside and shout a while around the American flag. Can I read that again? Beloved, now are we the sons of... We're not waiting to be the sons of God. You're a child of God right now. And we don't say that braggingly. I say that biblically. That's what the Bible says. I'm just reading it, Brother William. Now are we the sons of God. He says, but wait a minute. But it don't appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. In other words, I'm this American flag and the Lord's here and I'm here, that they so much good on God and so much glory that I'm just going to be shining like He is. Why? Because, no, that I'm going to be so close to Him, you can't see me for Him. I'm hid in Jesus Christ. Can you see me? You might be able to say, now you know what I'm saying. I'm hid in Christ. It don't appear what we shall. Right now, we all look different, but we all, it's getting good behind this flag. That you can't see me because I'm in Christ. What a day that's going to be.
Amen.
We see Him, we're going to be like Him. Just going to suck us right up, amen. I'm glad that what you see now of you and I isn't the best we're ever going to be. The best is yet to come. Preacher, how does this thing end? And they lived happily ever after. Amen, 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 amen. Yes, sir. I'm talking about a heavenly change. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Write this down for the girls in jail, especially the one that caused the trouble, Miss Chris. Write it down. It's in the book. It's in the book, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We was overeating a while after church. The boy had on a shirt said old and new and had that verse right under it. Old and new. We're talking about a heavenly change right here, a heavenly change. You see, salvation isn't just a word. This thing of salvation isn't just what I say. No. It is a heavenly change. This thing occurs in heaven and it occurs down here. I'm here to tell you right now that there's something shows up. We've already been seen in heaven. Now we're the sons of God. Here's the change, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is wonderful. Therefore, if any man be, now remember where I was, in Christ, boy, one day in his glory, woo-wee, but right now we're in Christ positionally. One day we're going to be in Christ actually. We're positionally, now are we called the sons of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Why? How? What do you mean? He says an explanation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things. If any man be, he is a new creature. If a squirrel runs up to me and says, hey, I want you to know that I am a bullfrog from here on out. I'm going to look at that squirrel and say, you've eaten too many nuts. You got a hold of a bad nut somewhere along the road, because you are still a squirrel. So many folks that think, hey, I got saved, but I've been drinking for 50 years. Guess what? You're a drunkard. You're a drunkard. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. How in the world is it possible that a man can love drinking and hooting and singing and running the dives of this world and hearing the filth and the jokes and all that and get saved, born again, and have no change from that at all? It don't take place. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Those things die out. The sounds and the smells and the tastes and the wants and desires die out. Why? Because he's a new creature. Old things have done what? Passed away. Now I want to hear you right now. I want to tell you right now, and everybody listen up, young Mark in the room, you're looking at a man who preaches the Bible, and I believe firmly on what the Bible says. And I believe young Mark doesn't ever have to know what it is to be drunk to never be a drunkard. I don't think he should ever put a bottle to his mouth and never hang around anybody anywhere that ever does any drinking at all. Amen. I don't think he should ever be indulged in cussing and running around and all the filth of this old world. I don't think he has to partake in that to find out that it's wrong. Amen. Amen? Amen. Is that okay, Mom and Dad? I know it is. Amen. You and I know what, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to partake in something that's wrong and filthy to know that it's wrong. The kids don't have to sow their oats and find out that it's wrong and then they'll be okay. Oh, no. Sad that a lot of folks do. And I give you a heads up. Them childhood professions they make when they're 7 and 8, if it's real, it shows up on them when they're 19 and 20. Now, I don't want to break folks' heart, but they said they saved over here and now they don't care for God over here. Showing up on you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have done what? And all things have become what? New. You got some kind of a halfway of a some kind of a liking for the things of God when you get saved. Why is it when you converts, boy, they're all in. They love everything. They show up for everything. They're ready to help for everything. And after we've been around a while, then we start making choices. I'm on tonight. Amen. But I don't believe he has to experience the things of the world to know that things are wrong. Never. I think the best thing in the world is stick with Jesus from the time you trust him all the way out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He says, if any man be in Christ, I'm talking about there ought to be a real change. Miss Chris mentioned in the prison. A young lady coming there and said, what good's Jesus? All I do is keep going back, keep going back, keep going back, keep going back. Problem is, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. Nothing wrong with salvation. Nothing wrong with this Bible. The problem's with us.
Right.
With us. Don't be fooled when people live a life ungodly and they don't care. I had a young man come to me this week. He asked me to pray for him. I was working right beside him. He asked me to pray for him. I went over and said, yeah, I'll pray for you. Well, I had trained him. I asked him when he got there if he was saved. He said, I'm saved. But the young man cusses all the time and doesn't live a Christian life on the dock. I went back over to my trailer here. About the time I told him to pray for him, the Lord says, you need to go back over there. I said, yes, Lord. What do you mean say? He said, you go over and tell him that what he's doing right now is wrong. You know how hard that is to do? You know what I done? I marched right back over there. I've been this long enough. I do what the Lord said. Yes, sir. I went back over here. I said, I want to say something. I said, you know I'm a preacher. I said, you know the lie. You profess to be a Christian. You know how your living's wrong. And I know you want me to pray for you, and I will. But you can't expect the blessings of God on a life that's corrupt of God. When you snub at your nose at God and everything else, I told him that. And you know what he said? He said, I know that I'm doing wrong. And he said, this is a young man. I didn't pry it out. This is what lets me know this young man's saved. What's the difference? He said, the folks I hang around are the ones who's messing me up. Now, he wasn't blaming him. He's blaming himself. He said, I'm hanging around the wrong crowd.
Amen.
In my book, I don't care how you add it up, that's pretty big for a young man to tell me that.
Yes.
That's pretty big. That I didn't coerce it. It came out of his mouth. I'm hanging around the wrong crowd. How wonderful that is. You go talk to somebody else who's living in a life like that and trying to, they say they're saved, but they look at you with a smug mouth and say, ain't nothing I'm doing wrong. God knows my heart. That's the difference. Folks who's truly saved and out doing something wrong, they'll be honest and tell you, I know I'm doing something wrong. I know I am. There ain't no hogs kick the prodigal son and say, hey, you don't belong here. Prodigal son realized, I don't belong here. And I've lost everything that I should have had. I've lost every bit of respect and inheritance. If I can just go back to Papa's house, hey, if I can just be a servant over there, not a son, but a servant. Remember what he said a minute ago? You're always going to be a son of God. And that boy come to find out whether he was in the Papa's house or in the hog pen, he was still a son. And that heavenly change that was made in his life, he realized, he knew, I don't belong here. I don't need to be here. Ain't nothing wrong with Jesus. The wrong's in us. Folks don't need to go and experience this, that, or the other to know that it's wrong, to know there's no good. Amen, Mark, stick with Jesus. I promise you. Years down the road, you'll look back and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. A heavenly change. I don't care how old you are, how long you spend, there ought to be a change in a person's life forever when they get saved. Number three. It's His covenant. Eternal life is His covenant. Who's He? I mean, Jesus. It's His covenant. It's a covenant, a holy covenant made by God, made by the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 5, 12. I didn't write that down. 2 Timothy, I didn't even write. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. My notes is wrong on this one right here, and I don't have a pen. It's chapter 1, verse 12. We all know this passage of Scripture, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I know, this is the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. He said, I know, and I have committed unto Him. Why? Because He is able to keep. Who? Jesus is able to keep. He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. Let me read it again. He says, I know whom I have believed. Paul said, I know who I've trusted. I've trusted Jesus Christ. He is able. What did Paul say? He said, I'm persuaded that He, I believe Paul was a persuaded man, don't you?
Amen.
Who persuaded him? God did. It wasn't his friends. It sure wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't those around. No, he was persuaded of the Holy Ghost of God. That God is able. Jesus is able to keep that which I commit to Him against that day. What day? The great day of judgment. He is able. God is able. We're talking about the Holy Covenant. The moment you got saved, we all have a birth certificate. I got a little piece of paper here. Wait a minute, is this my birth certificate? Well, it says I was born in Arlington Hospital, May the 14th, 1964, there in Virginia. Huh, that's a piece of paper. It said mama gave me birth, it said my daddy's name on here. It said the doctor what time I was born on a little birth certificate. You got to have these every once in a while. But when it comes to you and I being saved, this is my birth certificate. Hey, man, this is my birth certificate. This is our birth certificate, children. We're talking about this holy covenant of God. This is the holy covenant. This is our birth certificate. Why did God make a covenant with us? Because whether you know it or not, when you trusted Jesus Christ, you put it into His hands. That's what trust means. You're trusting this eternal security. You trusted Jesus' life with your eternity, with your very soul. And I don't know how many folks in jails and everywhere else I've asked, if God was to hang your soul over hell tonight by a thread, would that thread hold? You ought to see the fear in people's eyes. If you're held by that scarlet thread of redemption, I'm here to tell you, it will hold.
Amen.
How many folks have I asked over and over and over, over and over, and they tell me that I was saved when I was 12 or 15 or 20. Now they're 50 and 40 and 60, and they've lived a life of sin. And they tell me about all what they've done and how sad it is, and I look at them in their eyes and I say, well, let me ask you this. Are you saved right now? Gail's been on visitation with us. How many folks have said no? No, I'm not. How many folks, has she heard me ask that question, they look at you and say, no, I'm not. I'm not saved right now. So I talk to folks. I'm not worried about what you did then. I'm worried about right now. Amen. Right now. Are you saved now? Are you saved right now? God tonight comes and raptures the church. You see, this is God's covenant, the covenant in Jesus Christ. It was made in holiness. This thing of salvation, it isn't just something on a certificate down here on earth. It isn't just a membership roll. It isn't just a little scribble in front of somebody's Bible when you got saved. Oh no, this is a covenant of God in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep. See, I don't have to keep my salvation. Because I didn't pay for it. Amen. All I did was trust Jesus. He paid for it. And upon my trust in Jesus, God granted me eternal life in Jesus Christ, made me a new creature, set our feet on higher ground, give us a wonderful future. And we are persuaded, the more and more I live, I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed. When you trusted Christ, when after you gave Him your eternal soul. Remember that little prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You pray that all the time. And bless grandma and grandpa, mom and daddy and brother and all this, that and other. All the way down the line. That's my first prayer I remember. But Paul said in his covenant of Jesus Christ, he said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep. I want you to remember when it comes to eternal security, forever saved, that God is keeping the record. God has our soul. God has our future. God has our eternity. And He is able to what? Keep it. To keep it. Amen. I don't have to wonder. Somebody asked me out and say, well, I hope so. Or maybe so. If you've truly been born again, you can know so. You can know. Thank God for that. His covenant. Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll turn right there. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. I want you to see what it says, what He did for us. It's His covenant. Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come. Get out there and shout a while on that, and the good things are to come. It is. Amen. By greater, more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Oh, they looked at the temple and the tabernacle and the temple and all. He said, oh no, not this building. Oh no, not man-made stuff here. Oh no. Look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen, amen. Shout on that in a while. He did it one time by carrying His blood into the holy place. Where was that at, preacher? In glory before the eyes of God. Remember on that wonderful Easter message when Mary Magdalene's there? Oh, and she just wants to give Him a big hug when she finally figures out who He is. What did He tell her? Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. Oh, no, don't touch me. Others, he would say, reach hither thy. Why is that? He was carrying that blood before the holy place in heaven for God. Touch me not. Oh, not now. He did this. He entered into that holy place with his own blood. Through the Old Testament, all those priests would enter in with the blood of bulls and goats, never able to make anyone saved, never able to perfect anyone, as I said this morning. But Jesus Christ, with his own blood, entered in one time, having what? Obtained eternal redemption for us. What kind of salvation do I have? Eternal. How long am I redeemed for? Eternally. How long am I saved for? Eternally. Last, if you will, this is the high calling of God. Hebrews chapter 12, if you will. Turn the page or so there from chapter 9. Eternal security is the high calling of God. If you get saved, and I'm convinced that folks that are truly saved, and this is part of the discipleship, they that are truly saved, they have to learn to know that they're truly saved. What hinders so many folks in Christian work and service in the church is they're not sure about their salvation. They're kind of iffy about it. They've heard so much, they've been taught so much, and they're tossed back and forth, and they're not really grounded and secure. That's what discipleship does. Helps folks understand that, yes, you are saved. Yes, you are saved. If you've trusted Jesus Christ truly, and you ask the Lord to save you and meant it with all your heart, you are saved. I don't deny folks salvation. If you did that, you're saved. Now, if you're saved, it's time to get to work. Once we're secure, once we're settled about this, and I believe that folks that are truly born again and truly settled about their salvation, they'll realize their high calling of God. That God didn't call us and save us to sit. He called us into His service. And that's every one of us. Look what it says in chapter 12. Oh, I love this stuff. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, that's chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you and I realize the high calling of God, that you and I are called into the service of God, our eternal life, we're going to serve God here, and for eternity we're going to be serving God. The Bible says that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That's why we labor. Whether here or there, we're going to serve. We're not going to float around like a fat little baby on a cloud with wings. Aren't you glad with heaven? You ain't gonna look like a naked little fat baby. Say amen right there. You're servants of the high God. We're gonna be serving God. Amen. Amen. Servant. It's our high calling. Jesus. Who do we look to? We look to Jesus, the author and finisher. What was in His future? What was in His service? The cross was. He despised the shame, but He endured the cross. Why? For you and I, that we could have eternal life. This is our high calling of God, that you and I as the children of God should take the service of God to the most greatest extent that you and I can. To realize how important it is to serve the Lord. And what a joy it is to be saved. That you and I are going to be serving Him forever. Forever. I want to get a start down here. And turn in your Bibles lastly to Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Philippians chapter 3 as we finish tonight. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that we have eternal security. Again, I'm at copies of all this, and you can write these notes down. GEPC. Mark, you got your Bible? You turning through the pages? Are you in chapter 3? Hold your Bible up. Let me see chapter 3 right there. Yeah, this ain't recess. Get your Bible, turn chapter 3. Yeah, turn to every one of these. Chapter. Here we go. That's how you learn. Ain't it, Mom and Dad? That's how you learn. I said, hold your Bible, let me see chapter 3. You better not be lying to the preacher on the back row. I'll have you on the front row from here on out. Yeah. Oh, there went that mouth. That's a minus $25 right there. I can see it from here. Look at here, Philippians chapter 3. Look what he said. Now, this all comes down to this. If you're going to know that you're saved, you're going to be saved forever, and that you truly have eternal security, you got to forget what's in our past. You got to forget yesterday's failures, last week's mistakes, last year's life. You've got to be willing to forget all of that. Look what Paul said here in chapter 3. Love this passage of Scripture. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. It's what John Baptist said, that He must increase and I must decrease. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul said, I may not have it all, and I don't know it all, and I sure ain't perfect. He said, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whew. That's better than KFC right there. That's wonderful stuff. That's in our Bible. That's there for us. Eternal security, eternal redemption, forever saved. What did Paul say? He said, I'm not perfect in verse 12. He said, I've not apprehended. I ain't got a hold on everything. Paul said, I don't know. And you know, as a child of God, the more you live this life, the sweeter it gets and the better it gets. Whew. It's like all them scientists who want to look out in space, and the bigger telescopes they make, what? All they realize is they can't see very far at all. The bigger the telescope, all they see is more and more and more. The more I learn about the Lord, just like you, you know what? The sweeter it gets. And it gets sweeter and better and gooder and gooder. And Paul said, hey, if I'm going to know the Lord, if I'm going to have fellowship, if I'm going to know the power of His resurrection, if I'm going to live this life and serve God, if I'm going to press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, if I'm going to do this, he said, I've got to forget those things which are behind. You know, the Apostle Paul, in his memory banks, were the faces of the men and women and boys and girls that were put to death for preaching the Lord Jesus. When he talked to Timothy about his grandmother, I wonder if she was murdered. I wonder if they tied her to a horse and drug her down the road because she proclaimed Jesus. I don't know. When he talks about that unfeigned faith, I wonder if those visions of those faces that he treated, hauled off, that were stoned. I wonder if he could still hear Stephen praising God as he held the coats of the men that... How long did a stoning take? Hours? Who knows? I can't imagine just the vision of... But this was in his mind. This was in his memory bank. And he said, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to press toward that mark, if I'm going to go for that prize of the high calling of God, I have got to forget what's behind me. So many folks in Christendom, when you talk about serving the Lord, talk about being saved and knowing that you're saved, they can't forget their past.
That's right.
They look back and say, how in the world could God use somebody like me? And see, Paul said, I'm chief among sinners, is what he said. He was the chief. And you've heard everybody say, if he's a chief, he can save the Indians. But I don't care who they are, what life they've lived, when they get saved, they've got to learn to forget. Who can do that? That's the work of the Holy Ghost in us. That's realizing through discipleship and preaching in church. That's why when you see folks saved, you want to get them to come to church over and over so you can get them to sit still long enough to preach the Word of God to them, to let God and the Holy Ghost work in their life. Because most time when children are first born, you mothers, what do you have to do with them little babies? You had to feed them, didn't you? Little bitty drips at a time. They couldn't take a whole lot because what would they do? Spit it up. Amen. Same thing with Christians. New converts, you got to feed them a little bit at a time. New convert this Sunday, you don't hand them the book of Revelation and say, here, you're going to like this. Little sips. Praise God. Little sips at a time. And as you watch them grow, what do? You give them little sips. Then you give them that bottle. Then you give them food. They ain't at the door at 2 years old, 2 weeks old, making a bologna sandwich like I was. Hey man, show me the bologna right there. You got to learn to forget those things. Folks that are saved, folks in prison, folks in jail, folks anywhere in life. You got to learn to forget. You and I cannot live on the past. The Old Testament went something like this. It's 7:10. The Old Testament priests every day in the temple. What did they do to the candlestick? They trimmed the wicks. They trimmed the wicks. That's the Old Testament teaching of the New Testament teaching of the Holy Spirit, forgetting those things that are behind. You can't even look at a church and say, boy, we used to have 100, but boy, we ain't got none now. You got to forget what's behind. Amen. You can't look and say, boy, we used to have this and No, you got to forget those things that are behind. Because unless we woke up yesterday, today ain't like it was 20 years ago. This old world, but guess what? Our God's still the same. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the going business. He's still in the growing business. He's still in the giving business. And he's still in the business of seeing people saved. And God said he wants to see his house full. He wants to see his children fat and happy, smiling and rejoicing and praising the Lord. How do I do this, preacher? I've got to forget those things which are behind. Heads bowed and eye closed. You're forever saved. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, not on my word, but on the authority of the word of God, you are forever saved. He entered in one time into the Holy of Holies in heaven with his own blood to obtain eternal redemption for me and you. How did you get it, preacher? Same way you did. You just ask. You see, Jesus said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that easy. It's that wonderful that a sinner who knows nothing about nothing other than the Holy Ghost conviction that he's lost and heading to hell and needs to be saved, they call on the name of Jesus and they receive eternal redemption, eternal security, saved forever. How in the world can folks rest that great Bible doctrine? Fathers, we're here tonight. I pray for all the folks that are here, Lord. Many, many know, Lord, that we can use this to encourage others. We know we're saved. We know we have eternal life. Lord, I pray, help us now to be able to use these scriptures, use these verses to help others that may be wondering or worried about their salvation. Lord, to help others forget those things that are behind. Lord, that we press towards, we look forward, we move forward, pressing towards, always pressing toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God that's in you, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray tonight for those, there's maybe somebody's here that's not saved. Lord, tonight they trust you as your Lord and Savior, for it's eternally too late. Father, help us all and use us as only you can. Brother Roman's going to play us an invitation song there as folks are praying.